Welcome one, welcome all to the Crunch Exchange. Everybody be seated, please. I don't know, do they sit down at the stock exchange? I don't think they do. I think
there's a lot of running around.
Mostly running,
screaming.
Paper throwing. Yes. Yeah, there's definitely screaming and paper throwing. Anyway, welcome back to final segment of Crunch Time on a Wednesday. That means it's time for the Crunch Exchange. I am Alex. I'm going to give Steve some stories from around the world of sports. He's going to tell us if he's buying or selling the prospectus from those stories. So let's start with the Ducks, because we usually do. Why break a trend? Let's start with the betting line, because that's what we've done the last few weeks as well. The Ducks somehow a 2-point favorite at home over the Cougs this weekend, despite losing seemingly their entire roster to injury last week against Cal. I mean, Apelu lost for the season, Herbert lost for a month, and about a dozen or so guys listed as day-to-day, though Royce Freeman, Nick Pickett, Taylor Alley, and Jake Breland returned to practice this week, so there's that. Also, Wazoo just beat USC and is undefeated with one of the best quarterbacks in the country and a really good defense. On paper, Washington State sounds like the better team, but Oregon is at home, and their defense has been playing phenomenally in their wins. So, the prospectus. The Ducks covered last week against Cal, but do you buy or sell Oregon as a 2-point favorite over the Cougs?
Well, it's kind of one of these things. It's very rare you ask me a question I've addressed in my head.
Right.
When we were talking Sunday
loud,
with a buddy of mine, right. I was like, did you hear the line? Nope. What do you make it? He had Wazoo 5.5.
Okay.
I had them about 6, 6.5. So how could I stand here and say, yeah, I had Oregon as a favorite? Now, if you're telling me who I'd bet on, I'd be like, oh, God, because Vegas always makes me nervous.
Sure.
If I'm that far off, why? Why? I go Nancy Kerrigan. So I have to say that's an absolute sell.
Yeah, here, let me
do that. And as weird as it sounds, because it's only about the line, now I kind of, there's a part of me that thinks, well, I guess they got a good chance to win.
Yeah, Vegas isn't usually that wrong very often, so it does make you think
about it. But they have been wrong.
How about a rare visit to the NASCAR world? I know of one listener named Kurt who will be interested. I'm not sure if T-Bone listens. I don't think he does. By the way, those are very deep cuts for longtime listeners of Sports Talk Radio in Eugene. But Denny Hamlin spoke to the media this week and said that he thinks NASCAR drivers are underpaid. And he said that's mostly based on what other sports pay their athletes. NASCAR drivers generally live in the 7-figure category, which, bummer, while every other major pro sport pays their athletes, especially the elite ones, 8 and 9 figures. NASCAR's TV deal for around $900 million, obviously way less than the other sports, and the teams only get 25% of that, while the tracks get 65%, the other 10% goes to NASCAR. Drivers want to change that. The prospectus, and this is Denny Hamlin's quote, NASCAR drivers should be making NBA, NFL money.
Whoa. So we know that, and it's not exact, whether it be the MLB, NFL, NBA, NHLPA, they make from the high 40s to the low 50s of revenue. And you're saying NASCAR gets, so Joe Gibbs Racing,
$900 million TV deal, the teams get 25% of that. And that includes the drivers, everybody.
Really?
Yep.
Huh. They sure do put their arse on the line, and they get paid on merit because they keep running 43rd. They lose their spot in Sunday's race. So,
and sponsorships.
Absolutely, they should get a bit. And by the way, how many people who don't follow, you see how much Little E makes and some of the big names. I didn't realize that it was such a small percentage of the actual, I guess I'll use a horse racing term, purse. So I'm going to buy that. They got a point there.
Did you know, Steve, that the NBA gives its general managers a survey to fill out every year?
I found out earlier today.
Yes, they do. I'm not sure why, but they ask them a myriad of predictions and reflections on the league. They say which player is best at every position, which teams made the best offseason moves, best interior defender, best foreign-born player not in the NBA. Really is a lot of questions. But the big ones were, of course, MVP, NBA champ. Let's start with the champs. 93% of GMs in the NBA said that Golden State will win the title this year, despite Cleveland suddenly having a very stacked roster in the East. For reference, 69% said Golden State last year. So the prospectus, you buy or sell the Warriors that big of a favorite?
my first tweet. I tweeted the story and was like, what are the other 7% thinking?
Yeah.
I can't imagine that 100% of the people don't see Golden State, barring injuries, as a prohibitive favorite to win the whole thing. So what was the prospectus again?
You buy or sell the Warriors that big of a favorite.
More. So yes.
50% of the GMs voted that LeBron James would win the MVP this year, ahead of Kevin Durant, who came in at 29%. So pretty big favorites in both of the big ones. The prospectus, LeBron is the favorite to win the NBA MVP.
It's one of those eras where who's the favorite to win the MVP in the NFL? Brady. Who's the favorite to win the MVP in NHL? Crosby. It's just on and on and on. Of course he's the favorite every year by that.
Staying with the NBA, they changed their All-Star game format yesterday. Instead of the East facing the West based on top vote-getters and whatnot, the top guy on each side will now be made a captain and will be able to select his team without any restrictions. So LeBron and Durant could play with each other in the game, although they're probably going to be the leading vote-getters, but that's beside the point. Could have a fun street ball feel, or it could still be lame, like Stephen A. Smith said. Smith's point is that unless the players themselves commit to actually trying hard, then the All-Star game will still be a joke, which is what he also called the new format. So the prospectus, the new All-Star game format for the NBA is a joke because the action will still be boring.
Yeah, I don't know that all of a sudden they're going to go into lockdown on defense, but you're not going to get slaughter sides, and I like the fact they're at least acknowledging that 190 to 160 is crap and nobody wants to watch it. I'll tell you what, I don't know what's going to be more fun if the game turns out to be entertaining or watching them pick sides. Who's going to be the last All-Star picked?
Like, Mr. Irrelevant?
Who gets to play right field on his crappy Little League team and bat ninth?
Who's the NBA All-Star who slumps towards the bench like, oh, so nobody likes me.
What's the prospectus again?
I don't remember. You make it up. No, just kidding. The new All-Star game format for the NBA is a joke because the action will still be boring.
I'm selling that until proven otherwise. And I'm confident enough to not go pending.
Man, almost thought you were going to agree with Stephen A. Smith there for a second. That was going to be borderline. Los Angeles Rams, Steve, are 3-1 right now and atop the NFC best. Not only that, but they are tied with five teams for the best record in the NFC as a whole. The Los Angeles Rams, Steve. And not only that, but they are coming off a really good win in Dallas. And Jared Goff has clearly figured it out. He's third in the NFL in passer rating behind Alex Smith and Tom Brady. Alex Smith, Tom Brady. What?
What?
Jared Goff.
What are you talking about?
Wait, what? Goff has 7 touchdowns with just 1 pick this year. Todd Gurley, second in the league in rushing. Their defense has been good so far, but the season is long and they are the Rams. They have a win over NFC West rival San Francisco and play the Seahawks this weekend. The Niners are out, but the Sea Chickens and Cardinals are both 2-2.
They're out already.
Come on,
you're
give me a break.
Out of the contest.
Give me a break. The prospectus, you buy or sell the Rams is the best team in the NFC West.
Whoa. I'll tell you what's intriguing about them is they always had this good young defense with Aaron Donald and Robert Quinn at linebacker. Trumaine Johnson is a good corner. They got some depth. Seattle's got issues, which is apparent. And like you said, we're not going to count Frisco, and I don't trust Arizona. So right now I feel comfortable saying it. Could we address this in like 2 weeks? I'm going to buy that. All right.